Father in heaven, we thank you now again for not passing us by. Thank you, God, for giving us another chance. Again, Lord, we ask now your blessing upon not only myself, but this people that have gathered in this place. Pray, Father, that you will allow again your anointing to fall fresh in this place. So much so, Lord, that it will make preaching easy. Bless us now that we might hear your voice and obey your will. It's preaching time. And we've gathered ourselves in this place. We're seated in our tent doors. And we're waiting, Lord, to hear your voice. Would you speak to us now? Speak to us, Lord, so that we will know without doubt and for certain the way in which you will have us to go. Bless us now together. In the precious name of Jesus, I do pray that you'll forgive us of our sins and be merciful unto us. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Before we go further, we certainly want to thank the young couple, the Yates, Ben and Aaron, who were married on yesterday, for donating their flowers to adorn our pulpit, our sanctuary this morning. We're thankful to them for that contribution. And I was told that if I should get excited while preaching, please don't kick over the flowers. I've already broke one, I must admit, but as Grandma would say, tain't my fault. They should have put them somewhere else. I'm thankful. We certainly want to thank Sister Ingram for bringing them by and placing them here. Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah.
Amen. If you behave yourselves, I'll give you one or two of them on your way out. Amen. Would you look with me in the Old Testament of the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 16. And again, we want to thank God for sending Reverend Ray and his lovely family our way today. We thank God for his spirit and for him reading the Word of God from the 51st Psalm. Thank God again for our own Reverend Mitchell, who's with us, and his family. As a matter of fact, look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
I thank God for you.
I thank God for you.
Amen. Amen. Y'all mighty kind to one another. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to begin our consideration at the very first verse, and I want to read from Revised Standard, and I pray that you will follow us with your preferred version of the text. The Bible declares in 1 Samuel chapter 16, Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? He said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." Look at your neighbor and tell him, he rejected him. "For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Tell your neighbor, it's your heart that matters. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen thee." Tell your neighbor, it wasn't one of them. So he sent, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. I want to look again at verse 12. Bible declares in the latter portion of the verse, "And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he." God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Would you do me a favor this morning and put a big smile on your face? Don't y'all take too long now. You'll blame me for slow preaching. Smile, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor." Ooh, y'all somebody today. I like this. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pastor's going to preach.
Pastor,
preach. Next. Next. Say, tell your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Next means
no one
ever
expected
this. No one ever expected this. One must understand how amazing our God really is. One must understand that even after all this time, God is still able to do stuff that no one ever expected. As a matter of fact, that's what I love so about him, is that he often does what no one ever expected. As a matter of fact, in my book, the best blessings that one can receive are the ones that were unexpected. Amen. You expect God to do certain things in your life on a continual basis, and he does that. He allows us to wake up in the morning. He allows us to work our several jobs, and he allows us to have the activity of our limbs, and breath in our body. He blesses us that our footsteps, though they may be shorter, yet they continue. Our eyesight may not be as sharp as it once was, but thanks be unto God, he allowed someone to come up with the idea of glasses. And we thank God for those things which are somewhat expected every day, but I'm convinced that it's the unexpected things of God that really makes him special. I wish I had a witness here. You and I must understand that there are so many of us whom I would like to say to you this morning that you qualify as a next blessing. Yes, some of y'all sitting here this morning, nobody ever expected you to be where you are right now. Nobody ever expected you to hold down the job that you're holding down. Matter of fact, when you went to interview for the job, they told you that you weren't going to get hired. Then when you did get hired, they told you you wasn't going to be able to keep the job. And now that you're getting ready to retire, y'all ought to say amen. You have blown them out of their mind. You have amazed them at your ability to do that. Amen. Some of you now, you've got children, and folk told you you weren't going to never have no children. They told you that you wasn't qualified to be a mother because you couldn't take care of yourself. Oh, look at you now, all gray-headed and tired. Not only do you have children, but you've got grandchildren. Told you that you'd never have a husband. I know there have been times you wish you didn't. But all thanks be unto God, you got your man. Ladies, look at your neighbor and tell him, I got my man. I won't use that one anymore. I just wrote don't. But fellas, look at the ladies and tell them, what your man got to do with me? Don't do it, fellas. But you got somebody. I mean, you know, they didn't think you could hold on to him, but you still got it. I know sometimes, you know, you have been able to accomplish that which was considered impossible for you. I look out some Sunday mornings and I'm standing here and I look at people like Linda Ware, who I am convinced that folk told her she'd never walk on her own again. But nobody ever expected that. I look at people like Sandra McKenzie, who is a principal of a middle school, and to be an African-American woman, I'm sure nobody ever expected that. I look at people like Matthew Clark, who is a retired serviceman, and I'm sure in basic training the drill sergeant looked at him and told him, boy, you ain't gonna make it, but he's retired now and still yet alive, and others have passed on, and yet no one ever expected this. Even you, when you leave here this morning, you can go home, look in the mirror, and whatever you have has come from the Lord. You can be sure of this one thing, that you are living beyond somebody's expectations. Am I right about it? I want you to understand that's how awesome your God really is. You don't realize that even right now that there are some things that God is still working out in your life. I look at young men like Breon, and I look at them and I think to myself, 16 years old, got the whole world in front of him. Anything he wants, all he's got to do is pray about it. And God will see about it. I wish I could go back to being 16. You do too. I see some of y'all shaking hands, no, Rem. I ain't going back to 16. But I tell you what, if I could, you wouldn't know what to expect out of me. Because I realize now how much time I wasted asking God for foolish things, trying to live up to other folk's expectations, and y'all know I'm right about it. Some of you all have altered your whole plan of living trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. Listen to what somebody told you ought to be and how you ought to pursue this and you ought to have been doing that and you ought to take this course and you ought to take that course and you ought to get that job. You ought to move over here. And you ought to break up with him and get hooked up with her. And I'm telling you now, no one knows what to expect when God has a plan for your life. And I'm telling you now that the interesting part about being next is that God doesn't check with anybody before he blesses you. Amen. I'm telling you now that the fact of the matter is that when you look at this story, there are so many particulars for preaching, but I don't have a whole lot of time, so I just want to deal with the next factor. First of all, let me get you where Samuel is. He is upset, grieving. The Bible says in verse 1 that he is grieving over Saul. Let me tell you something, beloved of God, that some of y'all have been grieving too long. Amen. Some of y'all have been upset because something happened in your life to not only yourself but to somebody else. And I'm here to tell you now it's time to get over it. Look at your neighbor and tell them, get over it. Look at the other neighbor and tell them, let it go. Look at the neighbor behind you and tell them, mind your business. Those of you who look behind really enjoyed that part of it. Some of y'all been wanting to tell folk that. You're looking around hoping you're sitting by the right one. But listen to me. Listen, Samuel has been upset. Not with himself, not so much with Saul, but he's upset with God. Because the Lord has informed him that Saul has been rejected. You all know how Saul got rejected. I can't go back that far for preaching, but I want to tell you that Samuel had some sort of personal attachment to Saul. Reverend, you know how it is when you've been the one who has carried out the Lord's work. You seem to somehow take responsibility for those things which the Lord has given you to do. And you know, some of us believe that certain folk are in the church even right now because of you. You know, you want to take credit for bringing them to the church and take credit for them being nurtured in the Lord. And you know, that's your personal project. And then when they fail, it does something to you. Y'all might as well say amen. Because we had expectations of certain people, and especially when you know their lives have been blessed by God. Do y'all know anybody like that who are just so blessed of God and look like everything is at their fingertips, look like everything always goes their way, and yet they make a mess of their blessing? Mama call them ungrateful, unappreciative folk. Look like the more the Lord has given them, the less they are thankful for what he's given. And you say to yourself, Lord, if you'd only blessed me like that, I'd have done a better job with that. I'd have served you in a more faithful way. Amen. And that's what I like to say about the peanut gallery. You got to always have folks sitting in the peanut gallery that would always have done it right. But you know, all of us have the propensity to mess up. Amen. All of us, if given the right set of circumstances, will cause the Lord to reject us. Matter of fact, some of you sitting here right now ought to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, that the Lord hadn't rejected you yet. Amen. Don't get too high on your horse because I'll clip you from under it. I'm here to tell you now, all of us can mess up sometime. So Samuel is grieving because Saul has been rejected. And the Bible indicates that the Lord says to him, listen, it's time for you to get over this. He says, how long are you going to grieve about it? How long are you going to sit around here with your lip hung out about Saul? Samuel, I need you to understand that until you release that, I can't use you any further. Some of you are wondering right now, why is it that my ministry, why is it that my life is at a dead standstill? I'm telling you now, there's some things you got to get over. Amen. So the Lord said to him, he said, Samuel, he said, I tell you what you do. He said, you fill your horn with oil and you go. Notice that the Lord speaks to him in no uncertain terms. He says, fill your horn with oil and go. Look at your neighbor and tell him, fill your horn and let's go. Amen. It don't take much longer. I'm almost there. Listen what he said. He said, listen, I've got a plan that I need you to fulfill for me. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to go down to Bethlehem. And I want you to go and meet with Brother Jesse. He said, and when you get down to Brother Jesse's, he said, there are some activities that I want you to carry out. Now, Samuel, like most of us, Lewis, what he does is he is not able to focus on the mission because he's too caught up concerned about a man. He said, Lord, that's right, somebody ought to say, Because I'm here to tell you, some of you all can't get to where God wants you to go because you're too concerned about what somebody going to say. I know I'm right about it. He said, Lord, what am I going to tell Saul? Because if I leave here without his permission, he'll kill me. You do remember that Saul begged Samuel to come back and worship with him, begged him so much, Deborah, that he ripped Samuel's garment. Samuel said, just like you ripped my garment, that's how the Lord has torn your kingdom from you. And I'm here to tell you now, beloved God, if you have to go somewhere tattered and torn, you better get on your business for the Lord. Because the Lord doesn't concern himself about what a man gonna do to you. Because I'm here to tell you, like Grandma said, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Am I right about it? And if you are so concerned with what a man's going to say, how do you ever expect to hear the voice of God with clarity? Come on in here with me. How do you expect God to use you when you're so afraid of what somebody's going to do to you? I'm here to tell you right now, if you ain't got a friend in the world, let me introduce you to my friend Jesus, who sticks closer than a brother, who is better than any mother or father. There's not a friend like Jesus. You got to sit by yourself as long as you're seated at the feet of Jesus. Everything will be all right. He said, well, Lord, if I leave, Saul's going to kill me. The Lord said, well, Samuel, here's the plan. Should Brother Saul inquire of your whereabouts, tell him that you are going down to sacrifice to the Lord. Now, before some of you who are not theologically sound would get the wrong impression and think that the Lord is telling Samuel to lie, there's a difference between deceit and secrecy. What the Lord was telling Samuel was secrecy, because what he was planning to do wasn't nobody's business yet. Are you listening to me? So don't leave here thinking, see, right there in the Bible, the Lord told Samuel to lie to justify your lying habits. Now, don't look at nobody when you say the word lying, because folk will misinterpret you. But just understand that there is a difference between deception and secrecy. And the Lord said that should he inquire, that's what you tell him. As a matter of fact, I wanted to go on record here this morning, says Foster, that indeed the Lord intended for him to sacrifice. So the truth of the matter is that what the Lord told him was true. So he says, go down that you might sacrifice to the Lord. Samuel departs. He goes down and he enters into the city. Y'all gonna help me here? He enters into the city and upon his arrival, you know, there's something about the awesome appearing of the man of God that folk fear your appearing. I'm convinced, darling, that the reason some folk don't want pastor to come to their house is they fear my appearing. They're wondering, when I come, am I bringing an awesome word from the Lord, or am I just looking for a nice cold glass of tea? I'm here to tell you now that when the man of God shows up, you ought not to be afraid. Because when he comes, he brings a blessing. Am I right about it? Even when the Lord sends terrible news, there's a blessing in that word. Oh, y'all ought to say amen. They approach him. The elders of the city come out trembling and ask him, are you coming in peace? He said, yes, in peace I come. He said, matter of fact, I need y'all to consecrate yourselves. What you need to understand is consecration is still a part of your Christian makeup even right now. Before you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to consecrate yourself. You ought to let all that foolishness go, all that crazy stuff. You ought to consecrate yourselves. You ought to be prepared for whatever the Lord's going to do, because if you're not consecrated for service, you can't serve. If you're so busy, caught up in fear and trembling about what somebody's going to do to you, you cannot get to the fullness of the Lord. So he says, y'all get ready, because the Lord's getting ready to do something in this city. So he says, and I need y'all to call up Brother Jesse and get him down here. He says, matter of fact, he's going to have to appear at the feast, because what God is getting ready to do has much to do with Jesse and his family. So they come in together, and the Lord allows Jesse and the boys to show up. As a matter of fact, you have to look between the text to understand something significant occurs when Samuel invites Jesse and the boys to the feast. The Bible said that they were invited, and I want you to understand something. Notice that David is not invited to appear. Look at your name and tell him David wasn't even invited. Now, understand something. Before you go too far, notice how the Lord uses interesting scenarios to play out his plan. First of all, Samuel was told to go down and make sacrifice to the Lord. Am I right about it? Now, isn't it funny that the very thing that Samuel is told to go and do to replace Saul is the very thing that got him rejected in the first place? Watch out now. You're missing something. I'm telling you that the very thing that Saul claimed he wanted to do to the Lord, for reason he kept animals and kept Agar alive, he said was to make sacrifice to the Lord. But the Lord tells Samuel that if Saul should ask him, tell him you're going to sacrifice to the Lord. The very thing that got him rejected is the very tool that the Lord uses to replace him. Watch what I'm telling you now. Some of the very stuff folk use to try to hurt you, some of the very stuff they use to try to destroy you. Oh, y'all ain't praying in here. Some of them same lies and tricks and innuendo that they have used against you is the very thing the Lord will use to bless you. Say amen, somebody. I'm here to tell you right now that most of us get upset when we find out what folk doing to us. We find out about their little plots and schemes. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Can I give y'all a word of encouragement? When you find out you got enemies, and when you find out you got folk against you, don't take no action. Just sit back and watch what the Lord's going to do. As a matter of fact, next time you get wind of a fiendish plot against you, go on home and start praising God. Go on home and start dancing all over your house. Go on and start lifting up holy hands. Go on home and sing your song of praise to the Lord. Because I'm here to tell you what they're trying to destroy, God is yet trying to develop. Say amen, somebody. I feel a Joseph spirit in here. That which you meant for evil, God will turn it around and make it for good. I'm here to tell you now that when you're trying to crucify me, God's getting ready to resurrect me. You're trying to put a nail in my hand and God's trying to put a crown on my head. Help me, somebody. I'm here to tell you, you never know how God is going to bless you. So he goes on. I'm almost finished here. You'll be out of here in about 5 minutes. Look at the name and tell him we got 5 minutes and we can go. Don't y'all laugh at the preacher. No, notice, first of all, let me show you the particulars of it. First of all, the Bible said that when he gets there, he called them in one by one. And it's interesting how the Lord begins to use this thing. It's right there in verse 6. The Bible says that the candidates were called into his appearing. First of all, I want to tell you, the first point is that you are an unlikely candidate. Amen, to be next. You're not the one they expected to be next. As a matter of fact, so many times we judge folk based on what they look like and we base them on their ranking in the birth order. You know, the oldest supposed to do this first and then the next one and then the next one. I'm here to tell you now, you can be the baby and get the blessing. Amen. Look at the name and tell them the baby can be blessed. Now, those of y'all that's a baby, don't go home highfalutin' with folk or some folk misunderstand you. But I'm here to tell you now that you are an unlikely candidate. And you ought to be glad. You ought to be proud of the fact that you are an unlikely candidate. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Well, I'm here to tell you now because it's evident sometime that those in which we thought were going to make it don't always make it. Bible said that when the tallest and oldest boy came in, strutting past the Lord, the Bible said that Eliab come by, tall and very handsome perhaps. I would imagine, you know, he looked fairly decent. The Lord says to Samuel, no, that's not him. You got to understand, beloved of God, that sometimes when you look at folk, the folk that you expect God to use aren't necessarily the ones that are qualified. Say amen, somebody. Some of y'all sitting here right now know you got a job that you wasn't qualified for. Amen. But they trained you and you learned a little something. Now you want to be supervisor. Amen. But that's all right because you weren't a likely candidate. Matter of fact, when you went to the interview and other folk were sitting there, they were looking at you like you wasn't going to have a chance. Amen. They were sitting there sizing you up because you came in, you know, you wasn't dressed in Saks Fifth Avenue. You came in with your little Walmart outfit on and your hair was a little raggedy that day. You know, you tried, but the wind got to it, you know, and your jail wasn't holding like it held last time. Amen. You know, you came in, you couldn't find your contact lenses, so you had to wear your Superman glasses, and they were looking at you down. You blind as a bat. You can't see. Your fingernail was a little raggedy because you broke one getting out the car, you know, and you didn't have time to go get a fill-in done, so you had to go ahead and break the rest of them off so all of them would look the same. Come on now. Yeah, you came in, you know, you intended to wear your shiny shoe that day, but somehow or another, when you got ready to put your shoes on, you popped the string, you know, and you couldn't wear a pair of shoes with one string and the other, no string and the other, so you had to go in and get your Buster Brown penny loafers and put them on, and they were looking at your feet and looking at your clothes and looking at your hair and looking at your broke, raggedy fingernails, and oh, by the way, your lipstick a little out of order on this side, and they were looking, oh, by the way, you got a string hanging over there, too. They were looking on the outside, but thanks be unto God, he don't care nothing about the outside, but God is working on the inside. Say amen, somebody. Tell your neighbor, I wasn't a good candidate. Not all, and then the second is not only were they unlikely candidates, because each one of them walks in, and before they can get to their place, before they can get themselves in a mood of euphoria, the Lord said to Samuel, no, that's not him. Look at the name and tell him, that's not him. Then the second thing is, you have to understand that when you're next, you don't have to be invited to get an appearing. Say amen, somebody. The Bible said that David was an uninvited guest. In fact, the Bible said that when Jesse had paraded all the boys by him, Samuel said, is this everybody? What I want you to understand, beloved of God, is you need not get upset because you don't get invited to every opportunity. You need not get upset because your application gets rejected. You need not get upset because they didn't call you back. Because I'm here to tell you now that the Bible indicates to me that until the right one shows up, ain't nobody else going to get blessed. Say amen, somebody. Look at the name and tell them, y'all got to wait on me to get blessed. Oh, bless your heart. Some of y'all enjoyed that. Let me tell you, I'm almost finished. I told you about 3 minutes now. The Bible said that David was not there, and Samuel said that if this is all of them, you got to tell me there's got to be somebody else. And notice what Jesse says. Jesse says, well, yeah, there's one more, the youngest, Reverend, and he's out tending sheep. Oh, help me, somebody. Y'all don't see this coming, but let me go ahead and come on through here, Ann Patterson, because I want you to understand, sometime you got to tend sheep before you can get to the palace. Help me, somebody. Sometime you got to work outside. Sometime you got to work among the animals. Sometime you got to get the menial task before you can get to the place that God wants you to be. Some of y'all upset because you still working for cotton at Long John Silver's when you thought by now you should be vice president in charge of operations of some major conglomerate. But let me tell you something, beloved of God. You just keep on frying fish and dipping batter. You just keep on putting clams on the tray because you never know how God's going to bless you. Am I right about it? You're upset now because other folk have gotten promoted and elevated above you, and you're still out there working with sheep, coming in the house smelling like sheep, got sheep stuff under your fingernails, and your hair starting to look like sheep hair, and you're all upset because don't nobody pay you no attention. You think don't nobody know you out there tending the sheep. But let me tell you something. Even tending sheep is important, because if you stop tending the sheep will wander. Am I right about it? So, honey, you keep on flipping your fish burgers, because I'm here to tell you now that God's got a blessing for you. Say amen, somebody. He is uninvited. He's not there. So Samuel said, I'm coming on home now. Samuel said that we're not going to sit down until he gets here. You got to get him in here. So Jesse sends for David. David comes in. And now I want you to understand that the third point of this preachment about being next is there are always unique circumstances to you being next. The Bible said that he comes in, and upon his appearing, the Lord said, that's the one. Look at your neighbor and tell him, that's the one. Lord said, that's him. Notice what he says in verse 12, and I'll leave you alone here. Bible said that the Lord said to him, arise, get up, Samuel, and take that very horn and oil that I told you to get when you were back there grieving over Saul. Take that very horn and that same oil and anoint this one, because that's him. That's the one no one expected. That's the one that was uninvited. That's the one that was left out when everybody else was called in. You're the one that they said wasn't going to amount to nothing. You're the one that they said wasn't going to be nothing, just like your daddy wasn't nothing. You're the one they said, because you ain't got that job yet, you'll never get that house.
You're the one, they said, would always have to ride the transit system, but your Lexus had your name on it. I'm here to tell you now that you're the one that God wanted to bless. You're the one that God had the oil and the anointing set up for. And I'm here to tell you right now that when God has set it up for you, it doesn't matter what anybody else expects out of you. God can and will do the unusual. Say amen, somebody. Bible said that he comes in because he has been chosen by God. Saul is still alive. He's not dead yet. He's physically alive, but spiritually he's dead. I'm here to tell you right now, beloved of God, that when the Spirit of the Lord leaves you, you are dead as dead can be. Saul is sitting around the palace all upset now because the Spirit of the Lord has left him. The Bible said that immediately upon the anointing oil falling upon David's head, that the Spirit of the Lord came with him and was with him from that day forth. What I want to tell you, beloved of God, is that in spite of the fact that you were an unlikely candidate, in spite of the fact that you were an uninvited guest, in spite of the fact that there are unique circumstances, there's something unusual about your coronation. I want you to understand that the Bible indicates that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon David right then and there. But notice now, you have to understand that it was a long time before David ever put a crown on his head. It was a long time before David ever got to be the king in the palace. It was a long time before David ever left Jesse's farm tending Jesse's sheep. It was a long time before what David was going to become became evident unto man. But what I want to tell you is I'm so glad this morning that what God is doing on the inside, though it take a long time, it shall come to pass. I'm here to tell somebody this morning and to encourage your heart that no one ever expected this out of you. You got to understand that in as much as it's going to take a little while, God is still working things out for you. I'm telling you now that you better learn how to hold on just a little while longer. You got to learn how to not give up on your dream. You got to learn that what God has for you, it's already set its course. Am I right about it? I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. I wish I had a witness in here that knows that when folk had counted you out, God had already counted you in. I'm so glad this morning that the word said that God is not slack concerning his promise. I want to tell somebody that the promise the Lord made has got your name all over it. The promise that the Lord made is that when Samuel took the oil and anointed David, that the Spirit of the Lord fell on him. But I want to let y'all know something this morning. You might not have had a personal encounter with Samuel, but as long as you know Jesus, as long as you know Mary, little baby, as long as you got your hand in God's hand, the anointing will fall on your life. Am I right about it? I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be anointed by the Lord than my hand be laid by man. I'd rather have a little talk with Jesus and know that it'll be all right. I'd rather have blood, sweat, and tears than worry about what y'all say about me. I'm so glad. I'm glad. I said I'm glad that I tried my Jesus. I'm so glad. Yes, I am. That when I call on the Lord, that he'll hear my cry. I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. I can see David right now still working in the field. I can see David right now still slopping behind those sheep. I can see David right now sweating in the heat of the day. But I'm so glad. I said I'm glad that serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Am I right about it? Anybody know that after a while, by and by, after a while, God will, God will. Can you see it? I said I'm glad I've come too far to turn back now. I don't know what God's doing, but I'm so glad he don't have to check with nobody. I'm so glad that he sees more in me than I can see in myself. I'm so glad he looked beyond my fault to meet my need. I'm glad. I'm glad. Can you say yeah? Can you say yeah? I might not have what you have. I may not live where you live. I I may not drive what you drive. I may not have a certificate on my wall. I may not have a whole lot of money, but what I have is J-E-S-U-S. And as long as I've got Jesus, I'm all right. All right. Say yeah. Yeah. Have you ever tried him? Have you ever tried him? Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad right now you're better off today than you were yesterday? Aren't you glad right now you've gone farther than they said you would? You ought to tell somebody, I'm so glad that what I have is mine. I'm so glad that what I have came from the Lord, because what the Lord gave me, you can't take it away. You can't take it away. You can't take it away. Say it! They didn't think you would have it. They didn't think you would make it. But you know what? I was next. Yeah, I was standing in line waiting for a blessing. And no one ever expected this, that I would be a somebody in the Lord. Jesus hung, bled, and died to make me somebody. Anybody in here know that the Lord will make you a somebody? Oh, come on and help me, somebody. He'll make you a somebody. They never expected it from you. The doors of the church are open. We invite you to come to be next. We invite you to be next. Because even though they don't think anything of you, even though they don't expect that you are a miracle, I'm telling you that God has something for you. God has something for Deborah Campbell that only Deborah Campbell can receive. God has a healing for Alfonso Dismond that only Alfonso Dismond can receive. God has some trials and tribulations for Starling McKenzie that if only he goes through, others will be blessed by his delivery. What God has for Helen Johnson is for Helen Johnson. And you know what? You can change your name. You can move to another city. You can disguise yourself. You can get a weave, a tweave, and a curl. You can get anything you want to get. You can go bald-headed if you want to. You can get as fat as you want, as thin as you want. You can try Dexatrim, Slim Fast. You can get hooked up, broke up, thrown out, kicked out. But what God has for you with your blessed self is for you. You've been struggling. You've been trying to find an identity. You've been listening to other voices, and folk always got advice. But you know what? I stand to declare that you're a candidate to be next. You might be strung out on drugs right now. You might have an addiction, a problem, alcohol. Your marriage is falling apart. Your children are the worse than Bebe's kids. Your job is getting ready to cut back, and your name is on the list. Your welfare, your social aid is being cut. Your line of credit has been withdrawn. You don't know what you're going to do. Might I suggest that you try Jesus? See, because no one knows what God's going to do with you. And I know you're seated here in the sanctuary in this awesome place. God saying to yourself, Reverend, I just don't know. Even I don't know, Reverend, what I'm going to do. And you show by that? Yes, yes. You're a candidate. Because no one knows what to expect from you. God is working it out. If you're lost, he'll find you. If you're alone, he'll comfort you. Would you come right now? Would you stand to your feet all over the house? Help somebody to make their way.
The doors of the church open. These men stand to receive you. They stand to receive you as a brother, a sister. As unlikely as you are, this is your day. You didn't even expect it. You're just like David. You're out there just minding your own business. The messenger runs out saying, boy, you got to get home. Your daddy say, come home now. Anybody ever had a message like that? Somebody comes to you and says, your daddy say, come home now. Amen. And you know when they tell you that, you say, oh man, what have I done? But I'm here to remind you that he will cast your sins away. Every fault and every failing, every transgression, he'll blot it out and receive you. Would you come right now? The door is open. We're waiting for you. Would you come right now? The Lord is waiting. This is your day. This is your opportunity. The Lord bless you, my sister. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Sister Johnson, would you stand with our sister and embrace her? I want to put a sister with that sister. Amen. Come on today. This is your day. This is your day. Whatever you stand in need of, by faith, all things are possible. If only you believe. God says to you today that even though they didn't think you would, I'll make it that you shall. Come on today, young man, young woman, come on today. This is the day. This is the day. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. I am convinced that no one expected this. As a matter of fact, you didn't expect it yourself. You were just going to come to church and try to get out of here. But I'm telling you today that the voice of the Lord is so loud in your ear, you can't reject it today. I know you hear him today because he's speaking to you, just to you. You're saying to yourself, what about the crowd? What are they going to think about me? No, that's not important anymore. Because they, just like you, stand in need of a Savior. Would you come today? Don't leave here without him. Don't leave here today. Don't take another chance. Don't miss this opportunity to confound your critics. Why don't you come today? Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Would you come now? Would you come right now? Come on, come on, come on. Secondly, we want to invite you. If you've already been in the waters of baptism, you've already been with the Lord, but you've fallen away, you've had a difficult time, you lost your enthusiasm, you lost your motivation for church and for Bible study, you just quit going. You got out there, and it just got to be too much. And the worst thing you could have done is that which you did. You gave up on the Lord. But that's all right today because the Lord says, come on home. He says, I will forgive you. I'll wash you, cleanse you. I'll make you whole. You can come back today. The Lord said, return unto me. Tell them to come back. Isaiah, tell them to come back. Ezekiel, tell them to come back. Jesus, go and pay the price. Would you come today? Come on back to the Lord. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come on back to the Lord. Come on back to the Lord. He's waiting. And then, lastly, today, and perhaps for a growing church like ours, the most exciting opportunity to present, it's for those of you who are looking for a church home. We invite you to come and to be a part of our family. You're looking for a place to worship, to study the Word of God, a place where I can feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I can worship Him just like I want to worship. If I want to throw my hands up, it's all right in the Lord. If I want to run, they'll let me run. We invite you to come and be a part of our family. We extend to you an invitation to be a part of our family. Would you come today? Would you come today? Whoever you are, would you come right now? Amen. We want to invite all of you now this opportunity to pray as we prepare to depart from this place. The altar of God, we invite you to come near. Okay. Would you come now? Come on, it's prayer time. Amen. It's always a good time to pray. Ushers, would you hold the door? It's prayer time. We're not going to walk out on prayer. If you had to leave, you must have left sooner because it's praying time. I would never leave without prayer. No, I wouldn't go without prayer. There are a lot of things in my life that I can do without, but I can't do without prayer. Amen. Come on, draw near. Press your way forward. Amen. That's it. It's prayer time. While you're coming, I want you to place upon the altar of your heart your concerns for your neighbors, your friends. We taught in Bible study on Thursday night that there are three qualities and characters of prayer that we want to enhance. And one is the fact that prayer is a communion, a partnership, as Brother James McCoy gave us that fact that it's a partnership. Just Berger said, Reverend, it's a fellowship. It's a communication process where we commune with God. And what that does, it is that which does something to us as we're communing with God. And then we talked about a second particular being the petition of prayer. And that is what we want for us. And we talked about that petition and how we surrender to God those desires that we have. And we don't want to bombard God with a whole lot of unnecessary conversation. We just get right to the point with Him. You can be honest with God. Like you can't be honest with some folk. Some folk don't want you to be honest with them. Say amen. Some have said that you can be brutally honest or you can be very, very frank and stern. But let me tell you something. To be honest with God is to get your answer. God knows your heart. So to petition God is what we want for us. And then the third thing we talked about and we got excited because Brother Eli told us that there were three particulars in that intercession. That is that intercession. It's on our behalf. And we asked Brother Eli, I said, who does the interceding? He said, the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, Eli, you doing all right. I said, well, where'd you get that from? He said, it's in the Word. Yeah. Don't y'all say that too loud. He'll start thinking more of himself than he ought. But he's right about it because intercession is on the behalf of other folk. And while you're standing here touching one with another, I want you to intercede on somebody else's behalf. I want you today to forget all about yourself and ask the Lord to do it for my neighbor. I want you to look at the person to your right and left so you'll know whose hand you're holding. You may not know their name, but God knows their name. I want you to look at them and I want you to say this to them, neighbor. Look at the other one, tell him to, neighbor. Whatever you want from the Lord, I'm going to ask God to do it for you. And because I know that He hears and answers prayer, it's done. By the will of God, it's done. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Precious God, here they are. From the eldest to the youngest. From the choir stand to the very rear door. Here they are. They've entered into your gates. They've assembled themselves for this moment of preaching. We worship you. We've adored you. Now, Lord, we want to draw nearer unto you. Please allow us, God, to come into your holy presence that we might have moments with you. We pray, God, now that you will partner with us. Your word declares that we are co-laborers together. Reminding us, Lord, that you're working for us, through us, and you're getting things done to us. See, Lord, what you know about us is secret. And thank you, God, for not telling anybody. Thank you, God, for keeping what you know about me to yourself. I thank you, God, that you didn't have to check with the committee to bless me. I thank you, God, that when I messed up,
You blotted that out to bless me. I thank you, God, that you didn't let me die in my sin. God, would you breathe life to me? Breathe life to me that I may know you in a personal way. Lord, let me come close. Closer than I've ever been before. Lord, I humbly submit myself just as I am. I can't fool you. I can't pretend with you. This is just as I am. I'm tired. I'm hurting. I'm looking for an answer to questions that I have. Lord, I'm trying to be better, but I've had my bumps and my bruises. I've had some setbacks. But Lord, I'm here. I'm here because I believe you. I'm holding my neighbor's hand, Lord, because I agree with what they need. And I'm asking you, God, to bless my brother or sister. I'm asking you, God, to heal the sick. I'm asking you, Lord, to deliver. I'm asking you, God, to lift up. God, would you make it possible that I might be a miracle? Would you make it possible, Lord, that I would be the recipient of something divine? Even right now, Lord, I'm standing here by faith. Believing. And I ask you, God, to speak to me now that I might hear your voice. Bless, Lord. Heal and deliver as only you can, as only you will. Whatsoever, Lord, my neighbor needs, according to your will for his or her life, would you let it be so? Even before, Lord, they get outside the door, encourage them that they will believe. It's on my heart. It's on my heart. It's right there. It's at the altar of my heart. Even when I can't say it, Lord, you know. Let it be so. Bless every family. Bless every child, every mother, every father. Bless those that are sick, Lord, in hospitals and nursing homes and on their beds of affliction. Bless those who have cared for them day in and day out. Give them strength. Thank you, God, for bringing those that have been sick back to the house. What a miracle, Lord, you performed. Bless us all now as we leave this place, but never your presence. Our sister, Lord, who came today for prayer and to rededicate her life, Lord, because you know all about her. You see, Lord, she stepped out when others stood fast. You know exactly where she is. She wants